Sounds
Rock 107 WIRX and WIRX.com. Welcome back to our conversation on human trafficking, along with the Michigan Abolitionist Project. map-mi.org, map-mi.org is who we're with today. We've been with really for the past seven podcasts, now into the eighth podcast, and we've covered a lot. We've talked about the signs of human trafficking, who's behind it, the victims of it, and so much more, which I hope you take time throughout the next couple of weeks, if you haven't, or just finding this now, to go back to our old podcast at WIRX.com and also do some more exploring and some research on your own to learn more about something that we don't talk nearly enough about. And that's why we're having this conversation. Joining me once again from the Michigan Abolitionist Project is Heather. Heather, hello. How are you?
Hello. Doing good. Doing good. How are you?
I'm good. As always, thank you so much for taking the time. And I always like to say, this is not an easy conversation to have, the topic that we're talking about. I'd like to be talking about my new fishing boat or literally anything else. But until the day that we put the kibosh on human trafficking, when we make people aware that there's people out there taking advantage of other human beings for profit, until we end that, we're going to have this conversation. Obviously, people like you, Kathy, Emily, who we've met throughout these podcasts, doing the grunt work and trying to get awareness out there for people. So as we continue on kind of this part two of part eight, human trafficking, what we can do, let's talk about what to do if you want to report. If you realize you are being trafficked or if you recognize it's happening, first, let's go over some of those indicators and signs again. So, Heather, what are some signs that trafficking might be happening?
Yeah, so this time I'll break it up into a few different categories for thinking about signs and indicators. And again, we'll link some pages for you guys to view so that you don't have to remember all of this. But first, let's talk about the environment, the outside environment or the home of where you might be able to recognize that trafficking is happening. So I don't know, maybe if you have if your work is as a painter or if you clean houses, maybe you inspect houses or inspect places of employment, any kind of work that might have you inside a person's home or looking at the outside of it. Some things to look for, a workplace, a place of employment for someone too. Some things to look for would be one of the big ones that I think is security that keeps someone in and not out. So typically when you go to somebody's house, if they have any security system, the camera is, you know, you get to somebody's door and they've got their Ring doorbell or they've got a camera looking out at you to make sure that whoever is coming inside is safe. If you go inside a house and you see cameras that are inside the house looking like they're trying to keep someone in the house and not out, or trying to monitor maybe what's going on inside the house, that can be an indicator. Another one that I've heard is, you know, if you go to maybe a place of employment and they have a fence on the outside and there's barbed wire that is trying to keep someone in and not trying to keep someone who might be, keep someone inside the place and not able to escape instead of helping to keep people that are on the outside from coming in. Another one would be if you enter someone's house and you see locks on the outside of doors instead of on the inside. That can be just kind of an indicator that maybe something's going on here. And again, these are all indicators. It's not saying trafficking is happening in any of these places, but just indicators that potentially something could be happening, and maybe pay attention to some more things. Another thing to notice at a place of employment or at home is if there's beds on the floor, especially a lot of beds on the floor in a room or kind of strewn around. Especially if this is a workplace and you notice that employees are sleeping where they're working, that's definitely a big indicator. Another might be if you're in a home or at a place of work and you see children who should be at school that are there. Again, they could be sick or they could be homeschooled. Just ask questions, but that can be another indicator that maybe something's going on at this home. So those would be some just potential indicators when you go to the house or the workplace. Another next category to think about would be signs to recognize about women, children, and men who might be sex trafficked. A big one that we see, and we talked about this in our victims and traffickers podcast, would be an older boyfriend. If it's a young person that has a boyfriend that's, 10, 15, 20 years older than her, that's definitely an indicator. Tattoos, branding tattoos. So maybe if you see they have a tattoo of a barcode, or maybe it says daddy or the name of their trafficker, that's or a sign of their maybe like trafficking family, quote unquote. That's another really big one that we see. If the person has a third party cell phone, so a cell phone that's not paid for by their parents or paid for by themselves. If they are suddenly showered with new and expensive clothes and gifts, potentially probably from that older boyfriend. If you see a person who's isolating from family and friends due to a new relationship that they have with someone, if you see bruises that are in various stages of healing, so that might be old bruises and new bruises. If they have unstable living conditions, again, we talked about runaway and homeless youth being at a very high risk for trafficking. So if the person has an unstable living condition, that can be another indicator. If someone that you know is working in a strip club or as an adult entertainment or entertainer, again, sometimes they are there by choice, but not always. So you can always ask. There's potential there. If they have a lot of hotel room keys, if for whatever reason you're in their car or looking in their car and you see a lot of condoms, boxes of condoms, or maybe a logbook in their car. If they work long or unusual hours, so typically when we're dealing with victims of sex trafficking, we see they work all night and sleep during the day, and so yeah, and usually they're very long hours. Part of that manipulation for traffickers is sleep deprivation. So those are some indicators. It's not an extensive list of indicators for sex trafficking. We'll again link some pages for you guys to check out, but those are some of the big ones. All right, Brock, question for you. See if you remember from when we talked about labor trafficking, what are some signs that you remember
This
that labor
time.
trafficking could be
Yeah.
happening?
Yeah, I didn't know there was going to be a quiz today, but
You thought
no.
exams were done
Oh,
after
good
college.
Lord. Last time I took an exam, I didn't do well. Signs of labor trafficking, if someone else is holding their identification documents, when you ask them a question, if someone else answers for them or their answer seems coached, maybe worked out, if they sleep where they work, if they don't know where they are or how they got to where they are, working long or unusual hours, appears malnourished and has a large debt to pay off.
All
Again,
right.
thank you very much. Just not the full list, but maybe some signs you can look for as well, like we've talked about. So let's talk about lots of signs and indicators are the same for sex or labor trafficking as like we discussed there, like we discussed.
They kind of crisscross, not they again, not extensive lists and some that you see in sex trafficking, you can also see in labor trafficking. So, but these are some that are maybe a little bit more specific to these different types.
And like you mentioned, Heather, it doesn't hurt to ask. I know some people might be like, well, I'm afraid if I offend someone. Well, I think they'd rather either just be offended for a little bit or also be rescued from sex trafficking or labor trafficking, whatever it is. And just a question or a phone call can make a big difference. So.
And I've even heard survivors share stories that, maybe it didn't, someone asking a question maybe didn't wasn't the end all be all that got them to leave, but it was a step for them of, hey, someone notices something, may is something going on here? Is, is this maybe weird, the situation that I'm in? Or just made them feel cared for and seen. So even just asking a simple, are you okay? Are you safe? Is there anything I can do for you? Something like that. Yes, it is awkward. Yes, it is weird. But we never know the impact that it could make.
Absolutely. Great, great point. What are some other things to think about when recognizing signs of trafficking?
Yeah. So one other thing when we're talking about signs of trafficking is even just recognizing the places that you're at. If you're going to a place that's considered high risk for trafficking, that can, you can just knowing even just that places or certain types of employment are high risk for trafficking, that then you can kind of be on the alert of, okay, do I see anything going on here? So the Polaris Project has identified 25 different types of trafficking. Again, I'll link that in the show notes because they have a really great document that gives you all the statistics, and it's in a really cool digital like picture format. But it recognizes 25 different types of trafficking. And so some of these places include escort services. And so that usually happens at hotels. So if you're at a hotel and maybe you see something that kind of gets your human trafficking, I don't know, indicators buzzing, massage, health and beauty, industries. So the illicit massage business is huge in the US. They, in Michigan alone, they take in millions and millions and millions of dollars. Yeah, that's something to be very aware of. If you are going for a massage and you notice that the massage business is open until 3 o'clock in the morning, that can be an indicator that something's going on. It also could be an indicator that something, it couldn't be going on. So again, these are just indicators and signs. It does not mean that it is happening. There are very real legitimate massage businesses and health businesses and beauty businesses. Some other big places would be truck stops or rest stops. This happens a lot, and is the reason that we have our label project. Basically, it's labels that you can get and put in the restrooms of truck stops, and we put them in businesses as well. So if that's something that if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, that's something I think I could do, I would love to be in charge of putting a label in my local rest stop. You can email me, or we'll put a link again in the show notes, and we would love to have you be a part of our label project with us here in Michigan. Another place would be domestic work, so house cleaning or cooking, child or adult care, home maintenance and repair. This one more specific to sex trafficking, but bars, strip clubs, cantinas, even though they are working in legitimate businesses, they can be trafficked and forced to work at these places. And sometimes the managers may or may not know, the owners may or may not know that the person is being trafficked. I've read and listened to many survivor stories who were working in strip clubs as well as being trafficked, mm-hmm. Or while being trafficked. We mentioned in our internet show, pornography is another place where we see it. Traveling sales crews, that's another big one. Man, the visual that the Polaris Project has, they kind of show a map of the U.S. and the where traveling sales crew has been reported. I mean, the whole U.S. is lit up. It's crazy. Restaurants and food service, peddling and begging rings, which we mentioned that before. Agriculture and farming businesses, again, really a big one to be aware of for people in Michigan with H-2A visa workers. Construction, hotels and hospitality, landscaping, factories and manufacturing. This would be like sweatshops, thinking about those clothes and products that we buy from our stores. Carnivals. Carnivals, rodeos is another one that I've heard of from survivors. With that, think about how often they're moving around and how hard it would be to recognize that trafficking is happening because they are moving all over the place and aren't staying in places for long. Healthcare workers is another. Many of them are recruited from other countries with false promises and then end up forced to work here without pay or very little pay. So if you enter any of these places or use any of these services, these are just places that, yeah, just pay attention. We know that they're high risk for human trafficking. And so if you're there or interacting with anyone who has this as their work, you can just start asking some questions or just kind of notice, look and see if anything's going on.
Well, and the other signs that we've talked about, you know, listing that, you know, what could possibly be, you know, some signs to recognize about women, children, men, everything like that. So if you're at that place, not saying it's not a legitimate place, but if you see something in life we've talked about, it's a good time to, like Heather said, you know, ask some questions or maybe, you know, be a detective for a little bit. It's okay to look around and ask and do all that. So now we've seen the signs. Now what? With all these indicators lining up, you really think someone might be being trafficked or realize I am being trafficked yourself. What's next?
Yeah. So this is here, rubber meets the road here. We recognize that it really something, it seems like something's going on here. So first thing, just don't panic. Assess the situation. First and foremost, make sure that you and that potential victim are safe. If you are directly in a space with a victim, maybe they've come to you and said, hey, this is happening, or you're in a situation where you are recognizing something's really going on here. Just first and foremost, make sure that you and that victim are safe. If you are directly with the victim, reassure them and let them know that help is being sought out and sought out to keep them safe, and then call the human trafficking hotline. So we've mentioned that a few times, 888-3737-888. Put it in your phone, 888-3737-888, or you can text 233-733, and then you will be directed to someone who's trained in how to help.
Great hotline numbers there. I give those out all the time when I'm talking on air, and of course linked up here as well. So you can see that. And like Heather said, just put it in your phone. Doesn't hurt to have it in there.
Right. And,
what exactly is, the hotline?
Yeah. Okay. So the National Human Trafficking Hotline, exists to connect victims and survivors of sex and labor trafficking with services and supports to get help and stay safe. The hotline also receives tips. So they'll take tips from anyone about potential situations of trafficking and then facilitates reporting that information to the appropriate authorities in certain cases. Their phone number and text lines, and they also have an online chat function, are available 24 hours, 24/7, 365. And it's available, the help is available in English, Spanish, or in more than 200 languages with an on-call interpreter. So they try to take away every possible barrier, to getting help. Correspondence with the hotline also is confidential, and you can request assistance or report a tip anonymously.
Okay.
I know that can be a barrier for some people. When you call, they have trained anti-trafficking hotline advocates and a supervisory staff that provide assistance to victims in crisis through safety planning, emotional support, and or immediate connections to emergency services through their network of trained service provider and law enforcement partners. Mm-hmm. The staff is focused on supporting victims and survivors, and some of the more requested services that they have would include referrals for case management, shelter, transportation, legal services, mental health, and counseling services. Referrals and assistance are available to all survivors of human trafficking, regardless of whether or not the need is urgent. And decisions to report tips to law enforcement are handled on a case-by-case basis with priority on safety and the consent of the individual involved. So they are an incredible organization and really, I mean, have done incredible work in helping victims and survivors receive the services that they need and helping cases be found and brought to law enforcement and appropriate places. So it's kind of our main hub, in the US for anti-trafficking.
Well, like you said, 24/7, 365, to have that outlet, to have that hotline is absolutely amazing. And so grateful that is available for people out there. Now, I like this here, and just in my notes, if you're not with the person, as we talked about, you want to make sure that you're in a safe situation where you could act or something. But if you're not with the person, or it's not the right type of situation to do something directly with that person, what do you do then?
Yeah. So I, again, if it's a situation that maybe like you saw and thought, man, something's weird. And then like later you're like, oh man, I'm remembering all of these human trafficking things or whatever. And it's like, oh man, Or I don't know what your situation could be, but if you are not directly with that person, still call the hotline and report what you've seen. If you can, take notes of what you've seen, what you've heard, maybe questions you asked to the person. And the hotline will record everything and they will report it to the right people. So if law enforcement, if it's like, yeah, this is definitely, you know, some type of business where trafficking is happening, or I think that sex trafficking is happening in my neighborhood, in a house in my neighborhood, or, you know, something like that. They will contact the appropriate law enforcement. You take notes, observe, you know, whatever you observed, and call the hotline and just let them know what you saw.
And even more beautifully, I guess, to kind of wrap up all of this, because we've given a lot of information on what you can do, things to look for if you see these things. But let's say it's not what you think it is. Thank God it's not actually someone being trafficked. What happens then? Like, all right, this isn't what I thought it was. What happens?
Yep. Then no harm done. I mean, that is the most beautiful thing, is reporting anything to the human trafficking hotline. If it is not trafficking, nobody's hurt. Nobody gets, nothing happens to you. Nothing happens to the people. Thank goodness it is not a trafficking situation, and everything is all good there. Again, it never hurts to call the hotline. If you truly think that you're witnessing a trafficking situation, you know, if you've listened to all these podcasts, or if you know those potential indicators, and really there are some things that are like, okay, things are not lining up, and you call, and it's nothing, it's okay. It's not a big deal. And no harm is done. Now, one thing I do want to say, especially with a lot of ways that trafficking has made its way into social media outlets that are maybe, I mean, you've done a lot of these myths and facts already. And so, you know, these are those big, I don't know, Facebook things that we see, like Pizzagate or things like that, where maybe you're just seeing something on Facebook and then you're like, that must be human trafficking. Oh, there was one, if you see a baby's car seat by the side of the road, that it's trafficking. And that's not an indicator of trafficking happening. And so part also is knowing those myths. And if what you're seeing is in line with one of those myths, to not call the hotline if you see a baby's car seat on the side of the road, and clog up their lines, because that kind of happened over the last couple of years with all of these different big social media pushes that were just these fake human trafficking indicator kind of things. And that clogs up the trafficking lines for or the hotline, and for people who actually really are calling with real indicators of trafficking happening. So again, please remember, get to know all of those real indicators and signs that human trafficking is happening, like we talked about earlier. And again, I mean, just print out a page, or if you want, also we have on our website a resource kit that you can order for. We'll send it to you for free. Awesome. And it has a little card in it that you can just put in your purse or your wallet, that has signs and indicators of human trafficking happening. Call the hotline if you see any of these real indicators of human trafficking happening. And again, just beware if what you're seeing comes from Facebook or from some other social media outlet that's not maybe a trusted source of information.
Yeah, exactly. And there is a like we've talked about the myths and misinformation, mm-hmm. and it is tough because you do want to be diligent and you want to you know do your part, but you also doing the research with it. And there's so many great outlets that we've given you, and of course it'll all be linked up in previous podcasts as well. So not saying that we don't want you to be like if you see something and you're not sure, it's okay. Do some research, find out about it, and then act accordingly when it comes. For example, one of the things you talked about, I thought this was, I mean, not funny, but you said having a branding. I have my wife's name tattooed on. So I just want to, it's not always.
Exactly.
But there's certain signs you can look at, and that's what we want. We want you to do your best to be educated and make the right choices and hopefully help put an end to this at the very end of it. So, because sometimes it could just be some guy who got his wife's name tattooed on his chest, and other times it could be something more serious. And that's
exactly.
Well, very good. So I figured I'd share that with you because I was like, oh my God. All right.
I know. Well, that's so true. It's like, it could be, and it also really could not be. Yeah. So that's why when you're looking at those indicators, usually there's more than just one. There's more than just your wife's, you know, name tattooed on you. There's a host of other things that we recognize too. Yeah. But that one indicator alone does not mean that trafficking is happening.
check out the resources as we talk about this. There's so many great resources from people like Heather and all the amazing individuals at the Michigan Abolitionist Project and the Players Project and all these wheels that are now in motion as this continues to become a hot topic, which it should be, and putting an end to it. So make sure you check that out. And of course, our other podcasts as well. Heather, I know you're going to share the links. I'll have these on the podcast, but anything else we'd like to add or have we covered kind of our bases for today?
Yeah, I think we really, I think we've covered it, you know, just remembering to in any hesitate, if you are seeing those real signs of and indicators of trafficking happening, again, like we said, it can be awkward to ask questions. It can feel weird or you can feel hesitant to call the hotline. But just remember, if you do call, no harm done. If it is in a trafficking situation, no harm done. But on the other hand, if it is a trafficking situation, you could have saved this person or many people's lives and helped to keep a trafficker or traffickers from continuing their exploitation. So it really is a way that we as a community can come together to support survivors, to help end the demand for trafficking, and just to do our part as a community to come together. So, yeah.
You don't need a badge or, you know, work the government to make a difference. So just keep that.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Well, thanks again, Heather. I appreciate it. Thanks everyone for listening, and make sure you explore on our website, WIRX.com, more podcasts. I believe this is number 8 in the 10-part series. So we're nearing the end, but we'll have more and explore more. And also check out map-mi.org, map-mi.org for the Michigan Abolitionist Project. Heather, thanks again. I appreciate it.
Thank you.